Certainly thankful that the Lord has blessed us this evening to come together in this capacity and to raise our voices up in praise unto our adorable Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we come together, it's about Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is number one. He'll not play second fiddle to anyone because He is the all-wise, sovereign, eternal, wonderful God and Savior. Count it a blessing to stand before you. I hope that the Lord will give me a train of thought and open my mind to whatever be on my mind according to His Word, and that you'll pray for me, that God would bless me to feed you. I like to feed the sheep and the lambs. I like the response to see God's people rejoice in the Savior. Sometimes it's not that way, you know. But I like to preach the gospel to honor the Lord Jesus. I appreciate the prayer. I appreciate the singing. I began this evening in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. We as Primitive Baptists believe like no other. We believe the truth. We embrace all the truth. And I believe we have all the truth. Now, I'm not saying that we know everything, because we don't. But we know a whole lot, don't we? That the Lord has blessed us to know. Now, we know that the Lord will preserve His people, their whole spirit and soul and body, until He comes and takes us home. Man is a trichotomy: spirit, soul, and body. Now, there is a distinction between the spirit and the soul. According to Hebrews chapter 4. But I can't explain that difference. But there is a distinction. But they are so married together. Sometime in the scriptures, it is called the soul. Sometime the spirit. But we know what the body is. And I believe that God has given us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to give us the ability to do everything that we do in the spiritual realm. So when the Lord Jesus comes, He will not leave any part of us behind, will He? It'll be body, soul, and spirit. Now our body will be changed, of course. It will be glorified. It will be immortal. And we'll be presented blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will present us to the Father. But I want to focus our minds upon verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you. The first part of that, and I hope to get to the second. Faithful is He that calleth you. Now, the Bible teaches that God calls sinners by His Spirit. He does not need any assistance in that work. That work is perfect when He does it within. It is a work that is performed by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And of course, there are many passages in the Scriptures that speak about the calling of God. God doesn't just call at a person. He calls a person, and there is an effect when He calls them. What happens when God calls the sinner? Well, the sinner responds, doesn't he? Well, he's dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, the Bible teaches that man is totally incapable of coming to God upon his own free will. That he cannot come to God upon his free will. In fact, Jesus said, no man can come to me except, here's the exception, except my Father which sent me draw him. Now there's many words and terms mean that God is active and the sinner is passive. So God draws, doesn't he? God draws the sinner out of death because he's dead in trespasses and in sins. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, and he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Quickening means to impart life. And only God can impart life. So God does the calling. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we find there where that the Apostle Paul wrote that moreover whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So we know who God calls. It is those that are predestinated. Now some people, they just draw up in holy horror when you mention predestination. But you know, if it's properly understood, it's the most wonderful teaching, and we rejoice in it because we understand that God has prearranged the destiny of His people to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. The highest life that we could ever have is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so it is that moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Do you find anything in that is not certain? Do you find anything in that is unsure? Is God uncertain? Or is God sure about who He's going to save for heaven? Well, I say He's sure, don't you?
Amen.
He calls effectually those that He loves and implants within them His Holy Spirit and the divine nature. He gives the ability of the child of God to believe, to repent, to do all the things in the spiritual realm, and therefore it is the bottom line is, without the Holy Spirit, the sinner cannot function spiritually. So it is, faithful is He that calleth you. God is faithful in His calling. The Lord Jesus spoke of this in the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to John. He says, verily, verily, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The hour is coming now is when who? The dead. That is, the dead in trespasses and in sins. When the dead shall hear the voice. Whose voice shall they hear? The voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Somebody says, what if they don't want to? Don't worry about it. They're going to hear and they're going to live. This work is done immediately. Doesn't take God all day to quicken the dead soul. It doesn't take Him a week. It is spontaneous. It is immediate. It is now. And therefore, God does it. He doesn't need any help to do it. God does it alone. He does it when He will, upon whom He will, without their will.
Amen.
I like that. You can say amen. He does it when He will, upon whom He will, without their will. But He gives them a will. He gives them a will. It is a new will. Jesus says that they shall hear my voice and they shall live. He also says, as the Father raiseth the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. Not who will let Him. Whom He will. And whom He wills to quicken, He will quicken them. It is the purpose of God. It is the work of the calling of God is also the new birth, or being born from above. Now, being born from above is a heavenly work. It is a work of the Spirit of God. Paul says to the Hebrew brethren in the 3rd chapter, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling. Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. It is a heavenly calling. It is a holy calling. Now when God calls a sinner out of death to life, what happens? Well, his spirit is changed. He becomes a new creature. Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Now, most of us cannot pinpoint the very hour and the moment when God called us effectually. It's always effectual. Most of us cannot pinpoint that hour. I can. But I believe that there are fruits of that work. That is, there are things that transpire after that work is done. You know, the work of the new birth is a painful experience. It is. When I believe I first felt the conviction of God when I was about 11 years old, I thought I was doing pretty good until that time. But I'm telling you, when I felt that weight and burden of sin, I felt myself sinking down. I felt myself to be in a horrible pit. In the miry clay. I needed help. I knew I needed help. And anybody that knows that they need help, they're already born of God. Now, there is knowledge that is brought in the work of grace in the heart. The knowledge of the consciousness of God. We become conscious of God. There's a higher power. This work is done somewhere between conception and death upon all the elect of God. Upon all those that are elected of God, it comes upon them between conception and death. Now, there are some that are quickened or called by the Spirit when they are in their mother's womb. We read over here in the book of Jeremiah said, the Lord told him when it happened. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And that word knew there doesn't just mean acquainted with. It means I love thee. An intimate love. Before I formed thee in the belly. And by the way, how did God form him in the belly? By the procreation of mother and father. That's how God does it. Because that's how He blessed Adam and Eve in the very beginning. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Now, there is a vital sanctification that is taught there in the work of regeneration or the calling of God. When was Jeremiah called of God or born of God or quickened by the Holy Spirit? It was then and there in his mother's womb. That's what God said. I believe what he said. Now, Jeremiah didn't know that until God told him that, did he? So God told him that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, I loved thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And no man helped him. Wasn't any preacher there. No soul winners. He says, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He did that too. See, that was not Jeremiah's choice, was it? Somebody says, well, every sinner's got a choice whether he wants eternal life or not. Well, the sinner doesn't have the choice. The choice is of God, and God carries through with his choice, doesn't he? He is faithful to call. He's faithful to call. All right. The work of regeneration or the new birth prepares the soul for heaven. It's the guarantee that we're going to live with him in heaven. It applies the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. But the second part of this, who also will do it. Now, there's something also here, isn't it? That is, who also will do it. Do what? I believe that there is a second call. When Jesus comes again. Somebody says, now, preacher, where do you get that? Let's turn over here to the book of Job. Job says in the 14th chapter of Job, he says, and it's real descriptive here about man, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Now, there's a change coming. Now, there's already been a change in us, right? It's eternal life. We are possessors. We are sons of God now. But it will be a complete change in our body. Our body will be changed. He says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call. Thou shalt call. And I will answer thee. Is that not a call? When is that? It's when the Lord calls out of death, out of the grave. Thou shalt call and I will answer. No preacher's there, is it? No preacher's in the first call. Now, I must interject here that there is a gospel call, but that is limited, and not all of God's people obey that. They can refuse that, and many of them do. But let's go on. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag. Thou sowest up mine iniquities. In the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to John, Jesus speaks about when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Another call, isn't it? All that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there is a call that all that are dead shall live again. The righteous and the wicked will live again. This is an hour that is coming, that all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good, somebody says, now see there, preacher, you've got to do good in order to be in this group. Well, let me tell you, nobody does any good before God unless he's born of God.
That's right.
Nobody does any good before God unless he's born of God, because the righteous nature, the divine nature, is holy and good and pure. Now, we still have a sinful nature. We do. We experience that every day. We have a sinful nature. I remember one time I was visiting my chiropractor about 5 years ago. He said, you know, preacher, he said, I haven't sinned since I got saved. I said, you just did. You just did. Because he that says that he hath no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in it. Well, he had, I guess I've told this before, but he had my head in his hand. He's going to crack my neck. Well, he's a nice guy, a good guy. I believe a child of God, just mixed up and confused. I says, Dr. Buckley, don't you break my neck. He's nervous. I mean, he's trembling. I said, it is true that the inner man does not sin. That's true. I said, but God's people sin. We still have the nature of sin. We still have the old man. And therefore we have to fight with the old man and put the old man down. Blessed be the Lord God, that He shall call. Jesus says that I'll call. In the book of Thessalonians again, in the 4th chapter, it says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. That shout's going to be heard, isn't it? The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There's not any time in between there. The dead shall be raised, and those that are the Lord's will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We all must be changed. And the change shall come, because the Lord will change us. Body, soul, and spirit will be presented unto the Father, and all the elect of God shall enjoy the pleasures of God for eternity. That is grace, isn't it? There's nobody else on this earth that really believes that but us. There's some people believe in election and redemption, but they're mixed up on the gospel. They think that the gospel's got to be preached for sinners to be saved for heaven. But I'm telling you, if another gospel sermon it would never be preached, the same number will live in heaven. We know how many is going to live in heaven. Everyone that God loved, everyone that Jesus died for, and the Holy Spirit calls and prepares, and Jesus will present them all to the Father. He's not a failure, He's a success. May God bless you with these words.